News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Where we begin, though, is with the seventh day of the US-Israel attack on Iran and Israeli retaliation around the region. According to the US president, there is no need to put, as he describes it, boots on the ground. And the US people, the US electorate, loves the fact that America has attacked Iran. David Smith is with us. He is Washington Bureau Chief for The Guardian. David, the Donald Trump asserting that the US is very positive towards the invasion of Iran, does that mean that if we read between the lines, he may be getting concerned about the electorate's response?
That's not an interpretation, because there have been several opinion polls that suggest Americans are not on board with this, a general majority against these attacks on Iran, although support does appear to be holding fairly steady among Donald Trump's own Republican Party, where, of course, there are many going back to the Ronald Reagan era who are generally quite hawkish on issues like Iran and like to see this projection of U.S. military power. Of course, there are some dissenters among his Make America Great Again base who were against foreign interventions. But overall, Americans are very skeptical about it, especially as there are already indications that this could push up the price of petrol. Of course, we might also see further U.S. Casualties. And I think the Republican Party are worried about what all this means for November's midterm elections.
And when you talk about the likely impact on the price at the petrol pump, one of the interesting things that has emerged is that America has lifted the sanctions on Russian oil so that India can continue to access oil on the open markets. And it's only going to be for a 30-day period. But it's interesting to see that one of the big economic beneficiaries of all of this conflict is actually Russia.
Indeed, yes. As you say, a 30-day waiver for Indian refiners to buy Russian oil. And it was only a month ago that Trump claimed India had agreed to stop buying oil from Russia. He said that would help end the war in Ukraine, you know, cutting off that money for Moscow. Now that has been reversed. And I think some will say, oh, here, yet again, Donald Trump is doing something that favors Russia, which he's always had a slightly bizarrely close relationship to. It's also a sign of how this war is spreading and how those people who warn that these kind of conflicts often have unintended consequences, secondary and tertiary consequences, will say, yeah, this is perhaps just the beginning of all sorts of other global economic impacts we haven't even imagined yet.
Now, the other thing that Donald Trump has said is that he wants to be, and that America wants to be, involved in the process of choosing the next person who is going to lead Iran into the future. I assume, first of all, that there isn't a snowball's chance of that occurring. And secondly, it becomes a stick for his own back when it doesn't occur.
Yes, that's right. Trump saying he should have a role in choosing Iran's new leader. And he's already said that Mojtaba Khamenei, who is the son of the fallen Ayatollah, is an unacceptable choice, even though he appears to be the leading candidate now. And this is already a bit of a reversal for Trump, who on other occasions has indicated he doesn't seem to care that much what happens next inside Iran, as long as terrorism is dealt with. And yes, it does create a potential political headache if someone he's opposed to takes power. I read one commentary today saying that, you know, all the Iranian regime has to do in this war is cling to power and survive. And if they do that, they have won and the Americans have lost. And right now, the regime is still holding on, although we heard U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth warn that there's far more military firepower to come. And, we're still in the beginning phase of this war in many ways. Trump could face embarrassment if he ends up with a choice who, you know, he regards just as negative as Khamenei.
David, final thing. This war, of course, is distracting from all matters domestic in the US, including what would have been big news, which is the firing of the Department of Homeland Services, the secretary of that department, Kirsty Noem, who, of course, that department responsible for dealing with immigration control and all of the ICE issues that had emerged. She has been removed from office and given a title. She might as well have been given membership of the Avengers. She is envoy for the Shield of the Americas. Is it possible to create a more made-up job?
No, it's pretty fictitious. And this is on the day, by the way, when Donald Trump was talking about the war while standing beside Lionel Messi and other footballers from Inter Miami. So, you know, still a lot of bizarre things happening in Washington. And I think Donald Trump's patience with Kirsty Noem finally snapped. You know, things went wrong in Minneapolis, and it was terrible TV pictures, which is something Trump cares about a lot in that immigration crackdown. And of course, two US citizens were killed, and she was quick to call them domestic terrorists, which proved to be wrong. She had various other personal scandals as well, and it all reached a head last week with some congressional testimony, which was pretty humiliating for her. Even Republicans were having a go, and she made the fatal mistake of claiming Donald Trump had approved an advertising campaign of more than $200 million, which he himself denied. And that deceit was really her undoing. And yes, she's been farmed out to this completely made-up job. And it's actually the first time Trump has fired a member of his cabinet in his second term, which is quite something for the man who became famous for saying, "You're fired."
David, thank you. David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief with The Guardian. 53106, if you'd like to text the show, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.